Good morning once again, and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast from Independence Baptist Church. Now, as many of you know, we've been talking about eternal security of the believer and many of the misconceptions about this doctrine. Now, if you've never heard the term eternal security, then let me take just one quick second to explain it. Basically, it means that if you're truly saved and going to heaven, then there is nothing that can take that away from you. It means that God won't take back the eternal life he gave. It means no other man or being can take it away from you, and you can't even give it back. The easiest way to say it is that once you're saved, you're always be saved. Now, Christ alone can give salvation, and he has promised himself that life he gives is eternal. Now, before too much of our time slips away, let's go ahead and listen in as Pastor Reynolds deals with some of the misconceptions about eternal security.
John 6, verse 66 states, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." This has happened many times down through the centuries. There have been many who have started down the road to salvation, but they have not continued. Don't be like that. Don't start to serve God, God's way. Then turn from his way into your own way. Don't do that. It is very interesting to note that Jesus distinguishes between a disciple and a disciple indeed, or between one who is only a disciple and one who is a true disciple. John 8:31 states, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." The Greek word translated disciple means a pupil or a learner. There are many who were, to a certain point, learned of Jesus, but they were learning more and more every day as they listened to him. But when he declared in John 6 and verse 54, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life," they said, "This is just simply too much. We are not listening to this man anymore." And they turned away. They went away. It is not a question in John 6:66 of whether people were born again and lost, but whether they, who had been numbered among the learners, would go on learning and let him be their teacher, or whether they would refuse further instruction and turn back. We are not told whether those who turned back ever again returned unto Jesus Christ. But we find a very interesting statement in John 6 and verse 67. When Jesus Christ turns to those few that's left, and he says unto them, "Will ye also go away?" This little group had been with Jesus Christ a long time. When he said to them, "Will ye also go away?" Peter said what every truly converted soul always states in John 6:68. He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." You see, if you are really born again, that is always your answer. I remember talking on this subject with a dear good brother one day, and he was insisting that a man could take himself out of the Lord's hand. I said, "Why do you keep insisting that you can take yourself out of the hand of the Lord? Are you sure that you are saved?" He said, "Absolutely. I know that I'm saved." Well, then I asked him this question, "How long have you been saved?" You know what he replied? He said, "About 40 years. I then said, "And Christ has kept you safe in his eternal arms for 40 years? Do you want to take yourself out of the Lord's hand? Is that why you're talking like that?" And he said, "Well, certainly not." Well, I said, "You're better than you say you believe." He then said that he was afraid to turn saved people loose with the idea that they are saved eternally because he was afraid they would not take salvation seriously. That is exactly the point. If a man is born again, he never wants to take himself out of Christ's hand, even if he could. Christ alone is the one who satisfies the soul. And here is another question. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 3 states, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." The word translated falling away means apostasy. This verse has nothing to do with the question of individual salvation. It does not speak of the doctrine of eternal security. This passage is a prophecy of what is happening all about us in the end time that we're living in. Recently, I was told that 75% of the ministers in a certain church organization signed a questionnaire saying that they did not believe in some of the fundamental truths of the Bible. That is apostasy. Does that mean that these ministers were all Christians once and now are not saved? My dear friends, I'm afraid the whole trouble is that most of them have never been born again at all. They do not know anything of regenerating grace and therefore are quite ready to apostatize from the doctrines the Bible teaches. Another question that people often ask about the doctrine of eternal security of the believer is found in the book of 2 Peter 2, verse 20 through 22. The Bible says here, "For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, 'The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire.'" Think about this question just for a second. Does the Bible really say, "But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the sheep is turned to his own vomit again"? No, it doesn't say that, does it? The Bible says the dog is turned to his own vomit again. How many of these dogs are there? They escape the pollutions of the world temporarily by the knowledge that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now just think about this for a second, that if you were brought up in a Christian home and taught the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ from your youth, you escaped a great deal of the pollutions of the world, did you not? But if, after you have known all these things, you can turn aside, you can take your own way into the world and live in all of its filth and pollutions, well, what does that prove? That you used to be a saved person, and now you are not? That you used to be one of Christ's sheep, but you are no longer? No, it doesn't teach that. What then does this passage mean? It proves this, that the dog has turned back to his own vomit again, just as the scripture says. The Bible says, "And the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." It's just exactly like the Bible says. The remarkable thing about this doctrine of eternal security of the believer is that many of the greatest men of God who have ever lived have believed it. Charles Spurgeon, D.L. Moody, Dr. R.A. Torrey, and scores of others have believed in the Bible, and they have believed the doctrines of eternal security of the believer. Charles H. Spurgeon says it very beautifully, though. Listen to what he says. "If this dog had ever been born again and gotten the sheep's nature, it never would have gone back to his own vomit. And if this sow had ever been regenerated and had the heart of a lamb put in it, it never would have gone back to its wallowing in the mire." So you see here, it is not a question of a sheep of Christ ever perishing. Listen, the devil has a lot of washed sows, but they are not and never have been one of Christ's sheep. The devil has a lot of cleaned up dogs. But these dogs are not children of God, and they never will be. Another question about eternal security of the believer is often in what I call the if scriptures. Hebrews 3, verse 12 through 14 is one of these. The Bible said, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." A second passage with the if in it is in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 and verse 2. The Bible said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you had believed in vain." A third passage is found in the book of Colossians 1, verse 21 through 23. "And you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now had they reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which is preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." Now, there's a lot of these if scriptures that we could talk about, but I've just mentioned three of these this morning. But what does the Spirit of God mean by bringing all of these ifs in? In every one of these instances, he is addressing groups of people. I address you this morning as a body of people. If I were to ask you if you were saved, I suppose nearly everybody would confess that they are saved. But would that prove that they are saved? It would show only that you profess to be saved. What would prove that you really are saved? Colossians 1, verse 23 states, "If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel." You profess you have received the gospel. You are saved if you keep in memory what has been preached unto you. If you do not keep it in memory and live as God wants you to, it just shows there is no reality in your profession. The faith in these verses is not the faith by which you are saved. It is not the faith by which you believe, but is living faith. Jude 3 states, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." That is the body of every believer's doctrine. And if a real believer, that believer will stand for that doctrine to the very end. But if not, they're going to leave and they're going to become some other denomination, if they become anything at all. It is a very easy thing to say, "I am saved." But it is another thing altogether to really prove it in earnest living.
Now, if you'd like to talk to us more about this, then feel free to call us today at 636-673-2180. And another way to reach us would be to log on to our website at independencebaptist.org. And from there, you can email us any questions you have, as well as you can read any additional documents that we might have. Some books are out there. There's also some additional sermons that you can download and listen to. Now, however, outside of calling us and emailing us, we'd also like to encourage you to come and visit us in person at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. We'll be arriving this morning for Sunday school at 10 a.m., and then we'll have worship services at 11 a.m., and then again at 4:30 this afternoon. Now, as it always does, the time has just flown by and it's now gone, but we do want to thank you for listening and pray that you'll be able to join us again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for more about eternal security.